Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 221 of the 8-Bit Geek. If you're new to the show, let me tell you a little bit about us, okay? 8-Bit is like a fresh pair of underwear. They feel nice, they hold everything up and in, and then, of course, after some time, the waistband starts to lose its elasticity. Damn it, I got it earlier today! The fabric tears, and all you're left with is a handkerchief.
Called it.
Sometimes you blow your nose on it. Sometimes you just throw them away. I'm Jeremy, and with me today are two men who blow one another.
Doug, yeah, I'll go with it. Fuck it.
It was a very productive weekend. Kevin, hi. I mean, we all were together in very near rooms. So, yeah, I mean, anything can happen in
anything could and did happen.
Yes. We had a lot of, there was a lot of cuddling this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
A lot of hugs.
Mm-hmm.
I accidentally may have kicked someone's penis on accident.
No, you bottle capped him.
Oh yeah. Caleb, I rubber banded him in the crotch area.
Yeah, you should apologize to him.
Well, he got me back.
With his mouth.
And then we should, whoa. We're no longer in the hotel rooms.
Oh, now we have to go back to our normal lives.
Yeah.
No more debauchery here.
Mm-mm. We have to be professionals on the microphone, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm. The guest, someone's asking who's the guest in the background. That's actually Ryan, who's in the chat right now as Zbok.
Yes.
Yeah. So he is he's hanging out as well. He came down for the con and usually does once a year. So
and he's so cute. I'm just taking him home with me.
Should we just? I mean, he's just the producer. He's got the chat windows open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Kev's normally not with Jaren in the same bedroom. He's normally at home, and his. So this is all different for us. This is weird.
All right, we're trying new things. This is episode 328, and we just want to make sure that you guys get a good show. So there's that.
Did you just say it's episode 328?
No, I said 487.
Exactly. So we did the Comic-Con thing. We had a booth. Let's talk a little bit about it. It was a ton of fun. Man, are we all tired. We just sat here. Doug was setting up the stream, and both Kev and I fell asleep in our chairs.
Yes.
And then when Kev spoke, we both woke up.
GG, Doug.
So thank you for waking us up. I don't know how tired you are, Doug, but
I got a good night's sleep, but I mean, I also was very tired after that stupid long drive yesterday.
Yeah, that drive sucked.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I got up around 8 this morning. I guess like 7:30 is when I woke up, but I got up around 8. And then I've been, did some chores and grocery shopping and stuff this morning. But it felt really good to be in my own bed last night.
Oh, for sure. I woke up this morning and I was mowing the lawn. That's what I did.
That's a weird euphemism for something.
Really mowed the lawn.
Oh. Yeah, he literally went mowed the lawn.
No, trust me, I was woken up by that. It sounded like there was a freight train nearby, so I was thinking, is there a tornado coming? I was like, I think they would warn me if there was, but I'm just going to lay here and let it play out.
I have a big lawnmower.
Yeah.
Ants says Druid has passed out. Yeah, they had a crazy day too because they drove with us. Ants and Druid, they drove back to DFW with us last night.
Yep.
So they were part of the 4-hour drive turn like nightmare. And then on top of that, they had to wake up early this morning and catch a flight and get back home. And then after their flight, they had to drive another 3 hours to get home. So they got home like an hour ago.
That is some super fans, and they were awesome, and they were so much fun to hang around with this weekend.
For sure. Thank you so much, everybody.
Ants and Druid. Awesome.
We'll get a little bit more into Alamo City Comic Con, but before we do, we just want to say, if you like what you hear, if you like us so far, if you're new to us, we do ask that you subscribe to us on Audioboom. They provide us with all of our bandwidth. They're our main sponsor. We thank them so much. You can also subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio, anywhere else that you may find podcasts as well. You can find us on social media at the 8-Bit Geek, and of course every Monday night at 8 p.m. Twitch, except for right now. We record our shows live, and if you want to chat with us, we have a Discord channel which will be linked in the show, and of course you can find it anywhere on the website. We want to pimp our other shows real quick. We do 8-Bit Legends, Divas Dropkicks and Dives, Brainberry Tarts, and 8-Bit Saga, along with Garbage Day. You can check all those out. And if you get tired of this show, or if you hate this show,
ouch,
you want to do something else, you can always check them out. But or if you love this show and you're like, I can't get enough, then you can try those other shows out. And also, we want to spend just a moment, just a fragment of time, and just speak to the appreciation that we have to our Patreon backers. And we just want to say thank you for everything. This weekend could not have happened without you, and your support and your dollars towards us goes so far. And it really pushed us above and beyond what we wanted to do this weekend. And
yes,
we reached a whole new just level of people out there at Alamo City Comic Con, and that was all for you. And so new fans coming in and new listeners, we thank them as well. And you can find our Patreon on our website. Yep. And here every on the Twitch channel as well.
Yeah, and I want to just go ahead and I want to thank all of our patrons right now. Just go ahead and just thank them for helping make Alamo City possible for us. And I don't know, the constant support and stuff is amazing. And there's not enough words to express that sort of gratitude. So we'll just do our best by thanking you on the show right now. So thanks to Chris and Curtis and Ed and Jen and Ryan. And I don't know how to say this name. Tuckbag, Tuccbag is what they put their name as. Tuckbag, Tuchbag. I don't know. Caleb, Jesse, Rain, David, the Lonely Trainers Pokemon Gang, Eric, Josh, Leonard, Amanda, Kyle, Simon, Lauren, Delure, Marty, Rob, Keith, Jundar, Taylor, Timo, Link, Ross, Michael, and Brutal Moose. Thank all of you so, so much for helping make this show possible. That was a very long list to read.
And it's only getting longer, folks.
Yeah.
Things are set in my 20s.
Again, thank all of you so much. Fuck.
Yeah. There's no words that we're at a loss because of the fact that you think that our stupid show is worth investing in. And you are realizing our dreams and our we're doing that together, and there's no better feeling than that for us. I mean, that's just crazy to us that people enjoy us that much, and once again, there's nothing that can be said to express our gratitude. Mm-hmm. So
I thought of something. I having to do with our patron, because I said Jundar. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think of there's a day at the convention where Jer and I were just walking the floor. We're just walking around, and all of a sudden this cosplayer is like at a booth. It's like, Hey, are y'all the 8-bit? We're like, what? Yes. Yeah. Cause we had like our 8-bit geek shirts on and stuff. And she was like, Jundar says hello. I'm like, what the fuck? What?
Yeah.
What? Wait. And I literally went, who? Jundar. How the fuck do you know Jundar? And it just happens to be because he follows her on Twitch as well. And Jundar he's often here in our streams while we do our show. He's not currently. I'm sure he's probably working or something. But Jundar, whenever you get a chance to listen to this, that was awesome, dude. Like,
yeah.
That was a really cool little surprise for us at the convention to have like a mutual friend of ours like say hi. And we talked to her for a bit. It was Scarlet Hellion was the cosplayer.
Yes.
And she's based in like San Antonio, so like it was pretty local for her. But that was really fucking cool, man. Like thanks.
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool to have while we're just walking by someone be like at another booth, like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was legit. That was a lot of fun.
That was fucking cool.
I had a similar moment. Ran into an old friend from Chicago who had his own booth at Alamo City Comic Con. Did some casual post. I was like, hey, I'm in San Antonio. We're at booth 261. Come visit us. And one of my old friends that I haven't seen in probably like 10 years, he was like, yeah, cool. I'll be right by. And it's like, wait, what? So, yeah, shout out to Cortland from Chicago Costume. He's been doing the con circuit for a while now. Just getting, you know, selling different Halloween supplies, masks. You know, makeup, all of that different stuff. So if you go to a Comic-Con and you see Chicago Comics, give Cortland a high five and a hug from me.
Yeah. You know what's actually really crazy is that yesterday as we were getting ready, we were tearing down. Caleb and I had an old friend who I haven't seen in easily 7 years. I think last time I saw him, 7 years? Has it really been that long? Mm-hmm. God damn. Yeah, I think it has. One of my friend's weddings was probably the last time I seen this dude. And that must have been like 2010, probably around summer of 2010. And, he was just walking the floor. Like, cause he kind of, I guess he lives near San, I don't think he's in San Antonio. I think he's near San Antonio. So he was there. He got like Frank Miller to sign some stuff, but he just walked by our booth and Caleb like ran over to him. And then I was like, the fuck? What? Like ran over and said hi too. And like, so we gave him some, you know, flyers and stuff and was like, hey, this is why we're here, man. And cause he was only there like Sunday. So as far as I know, so it was, that was really cool. Just to, again, just to like randomly run into someone you haven't seen in so long was fucking awesome.
Yes, always. And speaking and running into people you've seen, but people also, you want to tell your little elevator story there, Doug?
Sure. okay, so Sunday morning we packed up our rooms and we had to get all of our stuff out before 11, but we also had to be at the convention at like 9:30 for the VIP. So. We were up and getting stuff packed and down in the cars and stuff. And so we got down there, we get stuff into the room, down to the booth and stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to go do an idiot check. I'm going to go make sure the room's fine and all this stuff before we leave. Mm-hmm. So I go up there and I grab, like, we had left a whole, like a half thing of water, like bottles of water, like case. So I grabbed that and I left a set of dice in the room and stuff. I used the restroom one last time before headed back down to the floor. And then, so I'm walking down the hall. I've got like this bag of water. Not a bag. It just looked like it the way I was holding that plastic case of water, you know. And then I'm headed down, and Nick Carter walks out of the hotel room, like
Nick,
right
Nick
like on our hall.
The Backstreet Boys, correct?
Yes.
Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys. He walks out, and it's just one of those like, and then we know he's at the convention, but why is he on my floor, sort of thing. And so I'm just like walk by, and I was like, oh, that's weird. That guy looks like Nick Carter. So we walk by, and like he like follows me to the elevator, and we get on the elevator. And I'm standing there, you know, we're like, hey, what's up? And then I'm like, I have to ask, are you Nick Carter? And he was like, yeah, man. And I was like, holy shit. Sorry. Like, sorry. Like, because I was like, holy shit. Sorry. Yeah, that's cool. And then I just asked how he was enjoying the convention. He said he liked to like collect comics and stuff. So he said he had a lot of fun, like being able to walk around and go look for comics and stuff. And then the elevator ride was over, and like we were on the bottom floor, and he was like, "All right, man, have a lot of fun." We shook hands, and he took off. And so I text them, and they're like, "So you didn't invite him on the show? Fuck you, Doug, you piece of shit!" I'm like it happened so quickly. Like fuck y'all. So I'm like down. I go. I take the dice to my car and drop that off, and I'm just standing there, and I'm like shaking. So I'm like texting them and telling all this stuff. And then I get up there and I'm like, fuck it, let's go talk to him. So I grab Jer and we go over to his booth. And thankfully, he had a pretty short line at the time. He only had like three people. So we just got in line and we talked to him and we've invited him onto the show. He said yes, essentially. And he took my card and he took Kevin's card. But he wrote my email down also. And he said he'd email me. We'll see if it fucking happens. It probably won't. Who knows? We may have Nick Carter on to talk about. I told him about 8-Bit Horror Fest because he did that zombie film last year with some other random stars from other boy bands.
Rampage says just make a misconnection for him.
Yeah.
Hey, but
I met you on the elevator. That was pretty cool.
How did the conversation end though? Before you guys walked away, Jer got a handshake. What did you get?
Oh, I crushed his hand.
Huh. What'd you say?
Jer gave him a crushed handshake.
Yeah, I crushed. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I crushed his hand. But
no, it was when I walked up to the booth. He was like, oh hey, you're back. Well, and I was like, hey man. And he was telling him, like his handler. He's like, this is my elevator buddy. And he did like the bro hug. He like did the.
But it wasn't just.
He went in for the like let me pull you in hug thing, like the hand.
Yeah, so
hug.
It was like an awkward thing because Doug's like, I'm ready for a handshake.
Yeah.
And he wasn't ready for the bro hug, so he's like sidestepping towards him, like, okay, this is what's happening.
Yeah, so I got it. I mean, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just really funny because, like, I know that, like, the girls at the booth next to us for SeaWorld, they went to go talk to him. And at that point, it's Sunday afternoon. It was like 4 o'clock when they went over there, or 3 o'clock when they went over there. And, like, at that point, I guess he was tapped out for the day. so he was just signing stuff and taking pictures and not very like conversive with people, like talking. So they were just like, yeah, it sucked. Like he wasn't very nice. Like he just signed our stuff and took our picture and like said hello and that was it. So I was like, that sucks for you. I got a hug.
Yeah, you got him while he was all energized.
So we have all these experiences and more. You can check them out as well on the past. We just released it a couple nights ago. You can actually listen to all of that. We have a ton of stories in there and our experiences at Comic-Con. It's the wrap-up show, which is available on the podcast as well. So definitely do that.
You know what? There was something else that happened was really funny yesterday at our booth yesterday. Because we didn't talk about the obviously we didn't do the wrap-up show because
it happened Sunday.
But a lot more celebrities walking around yesterday. On Sunday, like walking around. So the first one walks by and it's Carl Urban. And we're all like, holy shit, it's Carl Urban. Carl! Carl! And he looks over at us and he like cheers at us. He's got like a drink in his hand. He's like, yo! Like, that was pretty fun. Especially since our friend Windrest was just like losing her fucking mind over having her pictures and stuff taken with him. Which apparently, like, they took some selfies and like he kind of just pushed her husband out of the photos. Which I thought was really funny. Cool. Pretty close to our giveaway time, Rob Schneider walked by and we're all like, yo, Rob. And he like looked at us and kind of was like, hey, he tipped his hat and just kept on walking. And we're like, I don't know. That stuff was just really funny to me. Just these people walking by. And like, I guarantee you the second we called for Rob, they're like probably taking him up and down all the aisles. And they were like, let's skip that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So we started it with Patreon. And we're going to end it with Patreon here and then move on. But it's 20. We're going to consider this now the fucking 2018 saving fund. So it started. It's back down to zero. All of our funding will go towards, of course, the 8-Bit Geek. And we're very transparent with that. You know, we don't misuse the funds. It all goes back into the 8-Bit Geek. So it starts over. So get on to that Patreon train and help us out, please.
Yeah, and if you're in the Twitch stream, all you know, we like donations. We love donations. They're never asked for; they are appreciated. So, and also, I think we're a Twitch affiliate now, so you can also cheer at us. You can cheer.
Yay!
We loved. Now I'll say this: we fucking love cheers. Like. I don't know. Those are fun to get for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's because there's a little thing at the top of the chat that shows like who's giving the most. And so to me, it's like, ha ha ha, who's going to top Killjoy? He's donated 205. Like, I don't know.
It's fun for me too.
So that's that.
All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes of the show. Let's start with everyone's favorite section, which is called the Misconnections. Every week, we take real ads from the Misconnections section of Craigslist and read them in funny voices. These are completely real. We don't edit them in any way, and we definitely can't make this stuff up. You know, I am fumbling around a little bit more because it's so like weird having you in the room.
How's it going? Coming
so
often?
Like every time he laughs or some shit, I like step over my own words because I'm like, oh shit, he's right here.
I can put my hand on your shoulder.
So weird.
If that makes you feel any better.
All right, let me start this intro.
Boy sees girl. Boy is interested in girl. Boy awkwardly stares at girl from across the room. Boy never approaches girl. Girl leaves. Boy swears they are meant for one another. Boy turns to Craigslist for help finding girl. 8-Bit Geek steps in. Welcome to Misconnections.
So I look at Jared, and this started at the very beginning of the episode. This is the first time out of 221 episodes I can hear the intro music and I can hear the music backgrounds because I'm in the same room with him.
Yeah.
So now I can
Meanwhile, I'm at home and I can't hear shit. I see him mouth to Jer. Says, I can hear the music.
It's like living a whole new life.
Oh my god!
So cue funny. Back over to me, and I'm just giving him the middle finger, and Jared's just losing. So.
Good times.
Oh shit! Thank you, Lince. We appreciate that.
Yay! You're gonna love it. We've got a special saga episode going straight to Patreon that you're gonna adore.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lince. It's my one shot, and it's gonna be super sexy.
We're about 50% done editing it, and Kale D-Bag is the one who's doing that one.
Yep. It's the Kale cut.
Okay, so let's get into this. Sean?
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
How you feeling after that wonderful weekend?
It was, you know what? I had a great time. It sucks that the pool was closed. That was a real bummer, because that's where I typically do most of my washing at conventions. Just spend a couple hours in that chlorinated pool. You'll bleach clean.
It was.
So instead, I had to make do with the Riverwalk.
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't think that cleans.
That's so disgusting.
I think that makes your clothes worse.
Whatever. Speak for yourself.
And also, man, I mean, it was really tough sleeping in a bed with you, Marky, Velvet, and Ryan. Let me just say that. It was a queen-size bed.
Oh, let's be honest. It was a full. Those are not fucking queens.
Yeah, you're right. They might have been a full size. Either way, there was no room for anything. And
well, there was room for cuddles.
No, there was no room not to cuddle.
We were stacked. It was just...
You were on your bed alone, Mr. Lightsaber.
Yeah, you're right. I guess that's why there was room to cuddle. So what do you got going for us this week?
This week I have... why is it so hard for an Asian guy to meet a black girl?
Okay.
Well... Is that
male
like...
for women? My body is fit. My height is 5'9", or 175 centimeters. My status is single. My age is 31. Hi! Seriously, why is it so hard? Yeah, I'm looking for a hookup, but yeah, I'm just a normal, nice, fun-to-be-with guy who is attracted to black girls. I like to meet someone cool, well-put-together, clear of those STDs, intelligent, attractive, and who enjoys good old-fashioned night to meet you, let's be friends and keep this going sex.
I'm still hooked on the Asian part.
Just an honest rant. Yours truly, Sean Pennis.
I was not aware that you were an Asian man.
Yeah, we're finding out new stuff about you every week.
You look as white as they come.
Well, I mean, I'm like 1/8 Asian.
1/8?
I'll let you guess what 1/8 of my body is.
Oh,
that is.
I know, I saw it. I felt it over the weekend. Kept pressing against the back of my thigh. I still can't sleep.
No! All right. Here we go. Hey, Jundar just showed up.
Hey, Jundar, we mentioned you earlier. We met your friend...
Hellion.
Scarlet Hellion.
Scarlet Hellion.
That was cool.
We stopped by.
You'll have to listen to the episode later to hear what we said.
Yes.
All right, here's mine. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, but Marky Mark can't come out and play today. He's filming. But we do have a special doctor in the house.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Mm. Hello, boys.
Hi, Dr. Randall.
Dr. Randall Savage at your service. I also was at a con.
Which one? We didn't see you at Alamo City.
It was a toe convention.
Oh.
Anywho, the blonde cougar. Male for woman. 39. Well, hello, you. I see you staring at my meat pole.
Oh.
I just read I read ahead.
I know you want another taste. While I suck on those big nipples before this big penis smashes you again.
Again?
So let's chat. Dr. Randall Savage, out.
I don't. That is, leaves it open for interpretation, I guess.
Very direct.
Yeah, I guess, but like, to no one in particular. Like, does this cougar just happen to be on Craigslist or what?
She was at the toe convention.
Oh God, where was this toe convention? Since it wasn't in San Antonio this year.
What? Where it was in San Antonio.
Oh, toe. I see what you did there. Oh.
What you got, Kev?
Well, Velvet's here. Kevin's off taking a piss somewhere, doing something. I don't know. He got a little sick of Mr. Randall Savage there. Doctor, excuse me. I know. I'm a doctor myself. This one, does this week, you know, San Antonio was a blast. Once again, Marky is a good cuddler. But, you know, that's here nor there. What happens in San Antonio stays in San Antonio with the bill, baby. Now this one goes out to a 43-year-old swimmer looking for older women. Oh, wait. No, what? I'm a 43-year-old swimmer looking for older woman. I think swim means single white male or sexy while masturbating looking for older women.
What is happening?
Male for women. This one, I stayed at a different hotel this night. This was Desert Inn Eastern. The eastern side of Desert Inn. I got a little big this week. My body is big. My height is 6.0, if you know what I mean. That's 182 centimeters for you Czechoslovakian chicks. Status, divorced. We all knew this. Third wife going on. My age this week, once again, 43. I don't know why I'm yelling at this. It's all in caps. So I'm recently divorced from a younger woman as I fantasize and have desires about an older woman, 50 to 65. If you live on the east side of town and would be interested in intimate rendezvous day or night, time to start, then go from there, please respond. I guess my grammar's all messed up on this one. As I have gotten older, it is I who I am self-conscious, so even if you are a grandma and white or Latin or and still have a sex drive, please respond. The more natural, the better. I am over fake. Pick for pick. Sorry for all that yelling. I just really wanted to get my point across, really. So all I wanted to do is make love to you. All I want to do is take a zoom, zoom, zoom and a boom, boom. Just shake your rump. Yours truly, Velvet Jones. Conversations and shit. That's what was written for me on that one.
Okay.
I'm going to go wash off whatever my boy Marky and Sean Penn has left in my sheets.
Let's talk a little bit about the top box office. There was a new movie that came out.
Yeah.
And it made a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent amount.
Yeah. It's not Guardians of the Galaxy money, but it's all
right. Right. Wolf keeps screaming out, Marky, Marky, Marky.
Oh, man. Everyone's trying to summon him. He's going to come through this window, and there's already enough people in this room.
Pirates of the Caribbean, it hit $77 million in its first week. This one was split between the critics. Half of them said it sucked. Half of them said it wasn't. What's it sitting at now, I wonder? Let's check. This is sitting at a 7.2 IMDb.
That's not that bad. I mean, that's not bad at all, really. It's not like a 5.
Its Metascore is a 38.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to look at.
That's where it's... What's the Rotten Tomatoes on that one?
I don't know. We can see.
Rotten Tomatoes are cynical as hell. So.
Well, if it's a 38 on Metascore, it's probably going to be the same thing over here. Let's see. 31.
Yeah, that's... Man.
So it's not bottom of the barrel, but it's definitely not good.
Yeah,
it's... Yeah, we were talking about it this weekend because I think like Friday night or something, we were looking at some of the review numbers and stuff, and it was at... I think it was up in like the 60s. Like IMDb had it at a 7 point whatever, like 7.1. And then it was on Metacritic at like 62 or something. And so, like, I think Ed was like, see, look, it's not that bad. Mm. And I was like, well, we got to wait till this weekend is over. Because I was like, you got to let that, like, initial, like, rush of seeing a movie kind of fade away when you can actually think about the movie. Because sometimes you walk out of a movie and you're like, that was fucking great. And then, like, the longer you think about it, you're like,
plot hole here, plot hole
there.
That
great. That's how I feel, like, yeah. Especially after seeing, like Batman versus Superman. After seeing the Batman versus Superman, I was like, that was actually pretty good. And then after I thought about it, I was like, that movie was pretty fucking garbage.
Yeah.
I really liked Batman.
There was
I hated the rest of the movie.
There was another movie that came out this week, and I'm looking to see what it cost. Okay, its budget was $69 million. Baywatch came out this week. It made $27.6 million. Had a budget of $69 million. So it'll make it back.
Possibly.
I think it will. I think it may not make it back fully at the box office, but
it'll make it. Yeah, home video, yeah, home video and stuff. It's The Rock.
Plus you have international as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a real good chance that happens. The thing that surprised me the most is, well, maybe it didn't, but Alien Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
In its second week, it dropped to fourth place, making only $13.2 million.
Yeah,
and that's a hard hit because that only brings its total up to $60 million.
Probably because the word got out on it. I mean, a lot of people were saying that, like, it spends most of the movie trying to cover up the plot holes from the first film and then just not really doing anything to really further the plot in this film.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could see why it dropped. Probably word of mouth got out, and a lot of people are like, all right, cool, I'll save my money.
Yeah. So no one has seen the new Pirates movie, so we can't really chat about that one.
Yeah, we were busy.
But I plan on seeing it today. I know that most people in this 8-bit group here do not care to see it or will not see it until maybe it even hits, you know, streaming. But
I think I've seen every Pirates movie. I've definitely seen the first three. I don't remember.
I've seen all of them.
Okay.
You know what it is? It's you know, the first one was just like, it was different. Everybody mm-hmm. really loved it. It was a great movie.
Yeah.
Then after that, it really became, it's just, you know, it's kind of, the stories aren't that great, but they're still fun to go see. But there's nothing, you don't really get anything out of them.
Yeah. I think, well, the first one was, I mean, in my opinion, it was less about Jack Sparrow and it was more about Orlando, was it Orlando Bloom's character
mm-hmm.
and Keira Knightley. And I liked that. I liked their characters and I liked that it was mostly about them. And then it became the Captain Sparrow show. And which is, I mean, he's very entertaining, but I don't think you need full movies about him because he's just kind of a drunken, blundering fool.
But works in small to medium doses.
Yeah, and so this is like they're Austin Powering the series where it's just kind of like they've pigeonholed Johnny Depp into this character. And now
he doesn't. He really loves playing the character, though.
Right. But I mean, like, as far as there was so many other great storylines they could have gone with over the years with these sequels and introducing new pirates and introducing all this extra stuff.
Oh, of course.
But they just keep going back to Jack Sparrow being like the main focus of things. And I understand especially for marketing purposes, that's gold right there. But, you know, once again, you had people like Jeffrey Rush who played an amazing role in that series. You know, and didn't they bring back Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley at some point?
We won't spoil anything, but they have a small role. I mean, that's known because he's in the trailer.
Yeah.
But from what I've heard, I mean, I know how long he's in the film, and it's not like anything.
But it's not like they're taking back over the series.
No, they're not.
Just, and it sucks that it's kind of just dropped back down to cameos once again, because the whole first movie, well, the first two movies were about Orlando Bloom trying to, you know, like, once again, I mean, rescue Keira Knightley or be with her, and then also finding the origins of his family, you know, his father, you know, basically dying in the locker of Davy Jones or whatever, and stuff like that. And it was very entertaining. I think it's just, once again, it's become one of those, like, yearly movies or, like...
Well, this one, this film had a lot of production issues.
Oh, yeah?
A lot. Like, yeah, like, this thing was planned to release back in 2014, this is supposed to come out, or 2015 or some shit. So yeah, this thing has been a headache and a half to get to market, and I don't know what it means for the future. Obviously, this is going to be pegged as a success, so we'll probably get more. But the producer, Jerry Bruckheimer,
Jerry
Bruckheimer,
Jerry Brockenmeyer.
Jeremy Brockenhoosier.
God damn it.
Said that he is the series doesn't work without Sparrow, so that's they won't make more in that universe without him. So
I don't know. We'll I don't know. Once again, I'd go see it, but I'm not as excited nor for the end. I don't have the anticipation as I did for the earlier films.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to some movie news here. We've got some a new X-Men movie, and it's going to be a horror film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's weird.
I'm down with that.
Are you okay with that? Like, okay, so who is taking this over? It's Josh Boone, and so there's going to be no costumes, no supervillains, and it's going to surprise everybody. Like, we are making a full-fledged horror film set in the X-Men universe.
Yeah, that's I want to hear more about it, especially if there's no supervillains. Like, who the hell is the who's the antagonist then? Like, what are they fighting themselves? Did they throw them into the Amityville house? Like, what's going to happen?
Well, this thing's going. It's moving. It's actually being made because it starts production in July, mm-hmm. and it's aiming for a PG-13 rating. So how horror can you get if it's full-fledged? I mean,
look at The Conjuring 2.
That's true.
You know, we were pretty damn impressed by that. And then also the other movie with the kid. What was that movie? Jeremy, with the kid they made like two movies of, or at least they're making a second one.
With what kid?
The kid that can like see. Oh man.
The Ring?
No, not The Ring. It was the other movie that was like a horror movie that was like PG-13 and it had a little boy in it.
There's a lot of horror films.
Insidious. Thank you.
Insidious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely could be done. My question here is, what kind of budget are they going to have? Because of the fact that does Fox give them $100 million to make a horror film, or do they make them do it on a shoestring budget and figure shit out? Like, it's like, okay, here's $1 million, go make your horror film. You know, is this a side project or is this going to be a tentpole? Mm-hmm. Those are the questions that I question about, because of the fact it's like, what kind of hype is this going to get? Yeah. And are they treating it like an indie or not? Like,
that's why I said I want to know more. I want to know more about this to get excited. Right now, I mean, the fact that it's a new mutants movie which can hopefully start up something fresh, and it's horror, which is right up my alley. So, I mean, I want to know more. I would like to know more.
It's interesting. You know, again, like, there's no costumes and stuff, because like sometimes you can go like, well, some of the X-Men teams didn't wear costumes. Mm-hmm. There was
There was X-Force.
Yeah, there was another one. Not X-Factor. Fuck. It was like the new generation of what, I forget what they're called. Not New Mutants. But New Mutants do wear costumes, but the other one, right. They didn't. They didn't. They just kind of wore like their whatever they normally wear, like those clothes. Yeah. You know, the street clothes, right? So it's interesting that they're going like, no costumes on this one, because this group has like a very distinct set of costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Or kind of iconic to the characters, so that's weird. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. Here's another strange story, that Mark Hamill has fundamentally disagreed with Rian Johnson's vision for Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy. Like, after he read the script, he went and talked to him and was just like, I don't like the direction, and I don't like the vision that you're painting for this character. And we talked about this on the trip down there. It's just like, when you have that, when you've played that character for that long, when you have three movies of him, you kind of know what your character is and shit.
Right.
But on top of that, he was like, I still respect you and I still see out your vision as a director for this character, but just know that I don't agree with it. And man, how does that play out? You know, like, it's really weird to read something like that.
Yeah. Again, it's weird to me that this story is, I guess, because it popped up again in Vanity Fair. But this, he said this around Celebration.
Did he? Because
he did an interview with someone and he said it. Yeah, because it was kind of like, he was at Celebration when he said it, but he didn't say it like during a panel or something. He said it like in one of the little interviews that they do like somewhere.
So maybe that didn't pick up any steam. And then Vanity Fair is a big enough outlet that they were like,
yeah. Well, it was like it was like Dateline or something. You know what I mean? It was like a huge thing. I think I sent you guys the video of that whole interview, because they were talking about, they had like Harrison Ford and they had like the whole, it was filmed there, but Yeah, he said the same thing. It was just what I think is that, again, you have a person who's played a character for so many years, and I told you guys this in the car, that you have the guy who's played the character for so many years. Surely over time, when you didn't know something was going to happen with that character, you probably have had fans and stuff ask you, like, well, what do you think Luke's doing? Like, if you could choose what Luke was doing now, what do you think Luke is doing? Mm-hmm. And all this stuff. So in his head, he's probably created this backstory and stuff for whatever Luke has done. And even though, and so when they did bring into the movie, he's probably like, okay, cool. Yeah, Luke went and started the Jedi Academy, and Luke went and did this, and Luke went and did this, and it may not necessarily fall within, like, the old canon, which is now the Legends territory, but, like, you know, he definitely had a set in his head, like, what happened, and I can see where we talked about the whole fact that, like, Kylo Ren has, like, turned his back on the Jedi Order and stuff, and then, like, apparently just brought it to its knees, and it's clearly fucking devastated Luke that... Mm-hmm. It could just be as simple as the fact that Luke is hiding in a cave on a on an island on another planet somewhere, that's what he disagrees with, because he may say, like, why the fuck is Luke hiding? This dude destroyed the fucking Sith Empire. Mm-hmm. Like, he took them down. I mean, with him and his father, like, in the end, are the ones that brought that whole fucking, like, regime to an end. And, like, why would he now over his nephew, like, why? I mean, Why would that do it? Like, why would he not be the first one to be like, no, we're gonna stop this, and then, like, guide the charge to end it?
It's like one of those things where I think he's emotionally and mentally crushed at the fact that he started this academy, and what it looks to be is that his nephew completely destroyed what he built, and he's just like, I have created another Darth Vader. Like, I've raised up this kid. I thought that I could do it. I saw the darkness in him, but I know that I can change people. Look what I did to my father. Like, I changed him back. Like, that shit right there would completely destroy someone and make you run off and be like, I'm going to go in, you know, just do my own thing.
I know. I agree. I can see both sides of it. I can understand why he, as the person who literally went from a farm boy who came home one day and found his aunt and uncle's skeletons on fire outside of the home that he grew up in, jump on a ship and go fight the Empire. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see where that man who played that character would see that as, like, that's the response you get when something tragic happens, is you don't go fucking hide, you go fight. And I can see where that's the response that he wants. But I can also understand, like, but you've beaten this. You've destroyed it. And no matter how much good you thought you did, that evil still turned its head. How that could, like, then crush your spirits to make you go run and hide. I can understand that, too. Yeah. So I can see where, again, in his head, he was like, this is not how I thought it should go. But at the same time, like, That's how Hollywood works, man. It's not always necessarily what you thought your character would do, because in the end, like, no one fucking knows.
And here's the other thing is that, you know, what we don't think about a lot of the times is that the whole team at Lucas had to look at that script and as a whole see where this whole universe is headed and say, yes, this is the right direction. This is the full story. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mark Hamill doesn't have the end result, you know, maybe he doesn't know exactly where this is going to end in episode 9, and so he just sees this one right here, and he's like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, but who fucking knows?
And
yeah,
how can you tell that he's mad at this current director when, or not mad, but disagrees with him, when it seems like the groundwork was laid out in episode 7 of him being away? So it's like,
we don't know if it's the reason why he's upset is because he's actually away, or if it's his mindset or how Luke has changed. And is he a gray Jedi? You know, is he still on the light side? And, you know, the way that the trailers are pointing out, it seems like he's kind of in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the great Jedi, I believe in an equal balance, the true equal balance of the Force, where it's not necessarily that you do, like, bad things to equal out the good or vice versa. It's just that you cannot live as one or the other, because if you're completely bad, the dark side will corrupt you and you just end up dying. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And then on the light side, you will most likely die trying to totally erase the dark. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you, like, have to live in that gray area, which is kind of, like, true.
Yeah.
I mean, more or less. So I don't know. It'd be really curious to see how it all plays out. I don't know. It makes me nervous in a way, because it's like, shit. If he don't like it, fuck. And it's not necessarily that he doesn't like it. It's just that it's not what he necessarily agreed his character should have done.
Right.
Which again is also fair. Dude's been even though he only starred in 3 movies originally in like the 70s and early 80s, over a span of what, 7 years maybe, from start to finish. The dude's been Luke Skywalker for 40 fucking years, exactly. Right? Like, I mean, he... So.
Justice League Dark has... it's more bad news for DC.
Yeah.
It lost its director, and he exited the project. And it was called... Variety is citing scheduling conflicts as the reason why. His name was Doug, is it Lehman?
Yeah, it looks like a Lehman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doug Lehman has left the project, and that's a sad thing because DC doesn't seem to be able to hold on to anybody at this point.
I really hope they change their luck with Wonder Woman.
I really do.
It seems, from the trailers, it seems like it's going to do pretty well. I just hope that, I hope it gets the, I hope it does well. That's all I can say, because I really want DC to turn it around. Obviously, we want competition. We want Marvel to be able to have to like stay on their toes, you know, and I want DC to step it up and at least set it up for a good Justice League movie, even with all this drama that's going down behind the scenes. So
yeah, we've talked about it until we're blue in the face. I mean, this whole DC thing is, it won't go away, unfortunately, but another director down. Let's see if the new regime will be able to steer the ship.
Right.
TJ Miller is leaving Silicon Valley, and that's a real blow to me because he is a fucking awesome character to have on that show.
He is hilarious.
I Erlock Bachman, he's just so funny. He owns that show, and every time that Bachmanity is, it's legit, and he's the kind of, he's the incubator of all these guys. Like, where do they go from there? And can they replace him with somebody else who's going to be equally as funny?
Yeah. And I wonder how they're going to get him off the show. I wonder if he's going to have a proper exit or anything like that. Like, maybe his roommate goes crazy and kills him or something like that. I just love their interactions together. It's hilarious. So, I mean, it's sad to see him go, because Silicon Valley is a really good show. If you guys haven't started watching that, it's amazing. You should definitely start. But yeah, I would say, I mean, TJ Miller was hilarious in it. Hilarious in it. He's still in it, obviously.
Ants is asking if it's the monster show that he's leaving. I would say that's a number of things. In the article that the reasons why is, like, he says that he is feeling, it gets old after a while, and he feels like he's doing the same thing and he's not being challenged.
Mm.
And I mean, but fuck, that's only 40 episodes so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, it seems like, and they're only 30 minutes each, so it seems like it'd be an easy job to go and keep doing and just fucking knock them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not asking them to put out 23 episodes a year and dedicate 7 months of your life. It doesn't seem like a lot. Plus all the scenes, you're not doing anything.
Yeah. just making a couple cracks, wisecracks, freeloading, you know, getting into fights with your roommate and losing.
I don't know what monster show she's talking about. What monster show are you talking about, Ants?
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, he's got Deadpool 2 coming out. I mean, that
Deadpool 2, Ready Player One.
Yeah.
It's called Gobstopper.
Yeah, let's see. I know the candy.
TJ Miller. I don't... All it says here is that he has a stand-up show coming out. I don't see anything with Godstopper in it. That's
Goreburger.
Goreburger.
Okay, let's look that up real quick.
You might want to. Don't look up images. You might see something you don't want to see.
The Goreburger show. Oh, because it has a monster. This came out in 2012. Tegan and Sarah. Okay.
Maybe they're doing like a look at March 30th. It looks like. Maybe they're going to make a lot like a Comedy Central.
Comedy Central's alien puppet show, Goreburger. This is my Deadpool. Okay.
I have no clue.
Okay.
Either way, it's a bummer to see him go, especially on this show is on such a it's on such a hot streak right now, and sometimes it takes a few seasons to get there, but Silicon Valley is hilarious, and once again, it seems like it's not even hit its stride yet, and there's people already leaving, which is sad.
Somebody is leaving. Let's hope the rest of the cast stays intact.
Yeah.
Let's get into some gaming news, and this one we left all of our fucking... We were just scratching our heads at this one. Microsoft has rebranded its Beam service to be called the worst name on the internet, Mixer.
Hey, it's Grindr. A Mixer.
Grindr.
Well, that's a different... Well, I don't... Jared, don't look up pictures for that one either. Unless you
know,
then go for it.
I think the saddest part is that Beam just started. So the fact that you're going to rebrand yourself that early in, it's just, but also, like, you should have started with the name Mixer and then renamed it to Beam.
Yeah, then it could, but then we would have never downloaded the first place. I'm not downloading Mixer. It does sound like a weird, like, nerdy dating app.
Beam just makes sense. Like, it, the name looks sense. The name makes sense, and it's way better than Mixer. But here's the thing. Microsoft is killing Twitch right now with its technology. It has the better tech behind it, but nobody's using it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one. And, I mean, Twitch has the market. And it has some cool features that they're doing with it, with the rebranding.
Mm-hmm.
There's co-op where you can play with somebody else. And it has zero lag. They're advertising absolutely no lag with it whatsoever.
Yeah, real time.
Yeah.
And we've tested that before. Like, we all have Beam accounts, and it is amazing. If you're using, like, particular software, there is literally, like, if someone says something in chat, it's immediate. Like, everyone, the streamer, sees it. So, and that's one thing Twitch is kind of getting better at, but not there.
Yeah, they really need to. So, I would want this to be successful enough to threaten Twitch to actually update, instead of building social media pages for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, go invest in the fucking tech behind what you're doing instead of this bullshit. And so I'd like to see Twitch actually step up and make those kind of changes instead of just burying everybody in more UI.
Yeah. Agreed. Wholeheartedly agreed. And one thing I noticed too, like, this is months ago, Beam had they had this whole bits down. Like, on certain streamers, they were able to use, like, you know, if the viewer wanted to, like, hear a certain sound clip or do something like that, they would do bits, and then the person would get the bits and the sound would play, or like a cheer or something like that. And it looks like Twitch is kind of taking that over, and it's like, well, take over their service, take over their, like, you know, their actual, like, achievements.
they did it because also, like, people are tired of using things like PayPal or other services that, like, take a cut of what you make. So I think they charge you $1.40 for 100. So they're pretty much gathering that extra 40 cents on, like, sales tax and whatnot.
Yep.
So when you donate 100, that person gets a straight dollar, and then they don't lose any more from that afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to, like, you link it, like, straight to your account, and you can just get paid that way, which is really cool because, again, like, we use Streamlabs for our stuff.
Yes.
And it's not bad. I love them. But they do give you the option when you do donate to, like, pay the fee. So you made, you know, like, oh, I'm going to donate $5. You donate, like, $5.14. And then we get the whole $5 instead of us getting the hit, which I do like that.
Yeah.
But I also like the cheer thing where it's just like, you, like, don't worry about it. You're going to get the exact, like, money equivalent of whatever the cheer is, which that's cool.
Mixer or Twitch? Twitch, because that's where everyone is.
Yeah,
that's
ready,
where, yeah, that's where
Magic
all
asks,
of you are.
Yeah,
like, exactly. we talked about moving, but then you're having to ask everyone to go download a new program or not download a new
Nobody
program,
wants
but,
to do
but,
that.
But go sign up for a new program and all that. And it was like, but people already know we're here, and there are people already here on Twitch that find us all the time through looking at the talk shows or pro podcasting groups and all that stuff. So
And one thing, like, out of the three of us, I was the most optimistic about Beam when it first came out, and I think I streamed the most out of it. The one thing I just couldn't keep streaming with it is because I would consistently only have, like, 3 to 4 people in the room, and not because I was doing anything wrong. It was just there wasn't too many people viewing, and but the cool thing about it was the Beam community, the people that were in there, were very talkative and very positive and everything. But on the flip side of that, they were all streamers themselves. So it's everyone kind of like, I'll scratch my back, you scratch your, or I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. And so everyone's following each other and stuff, but everyone's too busy streaming to sit in other, in their other streamers' chat rooms. It was a very small community, very positive community, not very toxic like Twitch can be. However, just not enough people there. And that's what made me go back to Twitch. But I loved being services.
Yeah, so that's just a matter of time, in my opinion. Like, before something can become toxic, like, I think you need the people there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know. That's...
Like, oh, Reddit, man, you're so... You're such a positive community.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, what happened? We have millions of users now, and now it's a lot of shit posters. Yeah.
Shit posters, as far as the eye can see.
We had somebody in chat say that, I love your pops, Doug, and I thought he was talking about your actual dad.
Yeah. Oh, at least someone does.
Cool.
Oh.
I know. Obviously, it's on the pop collection in my office. I have a ton. They're everywhere. Not just the ones back there. They're fucking everywhere.
Wolf,
I know, and Lynn's also says, don't you move. I just got this shit sorted.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. Wolf, no, we're not going anywhere.
Wolf wants to know if you guys figure out where your next con will be when you earn your money. Yes. No, we haven't. We'll talk more about that in the Q&A.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Xbox is going to be releasing their Game Pass service starting June 1st with, it's going to offer 100 titles. Do you see this changing the way video games are consumed? Is this the next Netflix style service?
Could be. I mean, it's just, Sony's been doing it for a while, at least with PS3 titles, not PS4, but the whole PlayStation Now, where you can subscribe. And I mean, it seems like a good idea on paper, and it depends on how much you play video games, if you know how much you want to pay to subscribe. If they're doing games that are coming out Xbox One, it could be pretty awesome.
It's all Xbox One titles, and
well, not all Xbox One, because you can see
it says
there.
Game lineup still in the wraps, it remains to be seen whether this package will actually offer enough Xbox One games to make this offer a good value.
My bad.
EA Access is going on right now on Xbox and PC, and honestly, it's a pretty good value because you can download a set number of games a month. The only downside is you're actually doing full downloads, so someone with a like old school stock 500 gig hard drive, you're going to fill that up real quick. But you get to play games that you normally wouldn't have played. As long as you have the service, you have access to those games.
Yeah, but
games.
Those are limited on PC for EA. Like, I saw the games over there, and I was like,
It's a lot of sports games. That's the downside. Like, if you're a big sports fan, it's right up your alley. Yeah. But the only other games really offered are, like, especially on PC, I think they give you the Mass Effect series besides Andromeda. Yeah. And then they give you, like, Dragon Age. Like, a lot of BioWare games.
Well, if you plan on picking this up, it's $120 a year, and I know it seems a big hit.
That better deliver at that point.
Exactly. It's $10 a month if you want to do it monthly, and that's about it. So
yeah,
we'll see. Time will tell.
That's weird too that they would do $10 a month or $120 a year for the fact that like if you pay for the year up front, you're gonna get a discount. So that kind of sucks that it's really no discount.
There's no discount.
Yeah, there's no reason to go yearly. You might as well go month to month at that point because you're going to pay the same amount.
I wonder how the devs get paid out of that. Like every time somebody hits the play button, like music or anytime somebody downloads one, you get a chunk.
Yeah, I don't know. So. And I wonder if it will be streaming or if it will be like EA
Access
where you got download.
It's already been confirmed.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's downloads.
Then maybe they'll be paid by downloads.
So. Far Cry 5 is getting a whole lot of backlash and not from people we care about.
I love this article.
Which, by the way, if you are someone that cares about the stuff that groups are getting backlash from, if you're like, no, I agree with them. Oh, boy.
Here's the thing. This is not
the show for you, I feel.
Yeah, because we like diversity, yeah. And we don't care about like
we,
this.
We like diversity. We do. This is very true. But I must also remind you, Chair, that this is our whole podcast crew is a bunch of white people.
This is true.
So we're hiring Link at the end of the month.
So Link is getting hired very soon. Little does he know he's getting his own show.
Yeah. Link's listening to this. He's like, it's happening. He's like,
finally.
Dancing
because
in his
they need to. Like,
HR department said so. So this is the news. White people are mad because there's not enough black people in this game.
There's not enough people of color getting killed.
Getting killed
game.
And hurt in this game. Yeah, so thank you for correcting that. So the trailer came out, and this is a bunch of extreme, it's following this town that has this extremist religious cult, it looks like.
In Montana.
And it looks like the stereotypical redneck kind of community and just a whole bunch of white people, and it's representing them. And so the whole white community is up in arms because that's all it showed.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, it seems like it's taking the whole militia approach to things, where it's like, you know, this is we're taking back the government. And it's a lot of like, there's a lot of religious undertones. I mean, overtones at this point. They're showing like all kinds of religious symbols. The narrator was talking about, you know, we're doing this for God. We're giving sacrifices and stuff. So people along the town are getting, it seems like it's going back and forth of a struggle where people are getting kidnapped and sacrificed for this like cult.
Yeah.
And so I assume you'd play a character that just kind of either wanders into the town or something, to where you get thrown in the middle of this and you're kind of forced to take this cult down.
I hope that the main character is of color of some sort, because that would just rattle their fucking cages
even
more.
Well, they did show, I believe it was like a preacher sitting in front of a church with a shotgun, and he was a black dude. So, I mean, there is definitely people of color in this game. He seemed to be part of the resistance, and I'm cool with that. I wonder if that is the character or if they're just going to introduce the character later on. I'm sure we'll hear more about it during E3. But yeah, like, I mean, there's a lot of nationalists that are up in arms about this whole thing. And
it's just stupid.
I feel that the bad guy does need to be a white dude, because that's who it would be in this case. Like,
yeah,
it's,
yeah, you're probably right.
Narrative.
Yeah,
this
you're probably right. Yeah.
So, and that's what I mean. And I feel like if you go like, well, okay, we're gonna make the black guy the bad guy, then it's like, one, that doesn't really, not that it doesn't make sense, but that's typically not who is responsible for this sort of level of bullshittery.
Yeah,
and fucked upness. It's always white dudes, and that should be in this game, because white dudes are fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're gonna start. This is a whole another conversation, but it's. I mean, technically, I mean, I think Ubisoft is really just trying to stay true to some kind of.
They're trying to tell a story.
They're trying to tell a story here, and it is. You know, I'm sure once again, like every other story in a video game, it's fiction. It's there for entertainment value. None of this stuff really happened in real life, even though some of it seems like it would. But you know what? Another way to say this is the movie Red State. It seems like that, how that was, there was just this crazed cult that was kidnapping and killing people, you know, sinners, if you will. And the FBI was kind of sent in there to just figure it all out. And I figured this is what Far Cry is going to be. You know, initially everyone thought it was going to be an Old West game, especially since Red Dead Redemption was so close to coming out. But this is going to be some kind of like, you know, just it's a take on like modern day militias and anti-government and just like really highly, highly religious folks that are way off the wagon.
If you think about it, you know, these groups that are complaining, where were they when a white dude was sent into Africa in Resident Evil and killed nothing? But African American. Well, I guess they're not.
There was an issue with that. But once again, it got swept under the rug. But there was issues about that. It's
okay,
like,
but no, but it wasn't the.
But it wasn't them. It wasn't them. That was calling the issue.
No,
it's my favorite game of all time.
Yeah, everyone was just fine. Like those guys were just fine with that. Like if you're gonna stand up for something, stand up for it across the board, not just your race.
Exactly. No. I wholeheartedly agree. And I agree. But I'm saying it was an issue and it got swept under the rug, as opposed to this one where all of a sudden everyone's up in arms. So, yeah, pick and choose your battles there.
So it's a story. It's, you know, this is the same thing that happens in movies. Like if, you know, people don't complain about that shit because it's telling a story. And I think there's still people out there who don't understand that this is an art and this is a video game. And yes, it's a video game, but it's also telling a story that we are influenced by, that is being seen in some parts of the country. Like this shit does go on sometimes. And,
yes.
There's nothing wrong with that, and people need to stop getting so up in arms and offended over that because of the fact that it is just it's fake. It's not real.
Right. But it does show a little bit of truth in the modern life, the modern era that we live in, such as other things going back to the story of BioShock Infinite, you know, and even as current as Mafia 3, where the events in the game were fictional, but a lot of the stuff that happened in that game were a sign of those times. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what they're trying to convey here in Far Cry 5. That, I mean, the situation is fake, but it's something that definitely in this society would be another story on the news.
Hmm. I like Tub Zero's comment in chat. It says, tell them to eat shit. Are white nationalists even a measurable percentage of their player base? And probably not.
Probably not.
But the problem is that, like, guess who are apparently the loudest people?
Exactly.
White men. Like, the fact that Alamo Draft House is like, hey, we're going to do a women's only preview or showing, not even preview, showing of Wonder Woman after its release date in the middle of the day, not at like midnight or whatever, you know, like not some early screening for just women, and a bunch of dudes got their fucking panties in a wad because they're just fucking idiots. They can't be told no because they're just fucking selfish pricks.
Yes.
Like, it's just like that. That's what the problem is that, and that's news now, because like it should have just been like, hey, we're doing this fun thing for women that you can go see a movie about a powerful woman and not have to deal with like bullshit from men. And the first thing that happens is that there's fucking bullshit from men.
Yeah. And I think, I mean,
and it's made the national news because of it.
In that case, it was men of all colors that were complaining. But however, once again,
I promise you the loudest and the most like fucked up ones were definitely white dudes.
I agree. But that's here. Once again, we're going to here nor there territory. But that is a good example of people who feel excluded sometimes, you know, like not even all the time. People who feel excluded need to really they raise their voice and they complain, even though they get things a lot more often than others. So. Yeah. But back to gaming news.
This game is up for pre-order 9 months. You could preload it 9 months ahead of time.
good game there, Xbox. So you can have it fill your hard drive with like 70 gigs of stuff that you can't play until the game is actually out. And there's already a gold edition, deluxe edition.
It makes no sense.
Which is typical Ubisoft.
So the game is fucking done. It's just sitting there. You're just 9 months. You're just like, twiddle my thumbs.
It'd be funny if they just keep updating it. Like, so throughout the months, you know, because since the game technically isn't finished, that it starts off at like 10 gigs. Then next week, there's like a 2 gig jump. So like at the end of it, it finally hits the full 70 gigs.
Sony is bringing back the PlayStation E3 experience this year, and that's fun. You've done that before.
I've done it for the last 3 years, and I am going to be going to this year as well, because we talked about that earlier today. Not with you, Doug. I apologize.
Fuck yourself.
What makes this so appealing? Because to me, it's just like...
He really likes that PlayStation Cup he gets.
I've got that. You get
to see exactly what we see. We get to see it in our boxers in our offices, and you go out and get a free cup and a free lanyard.
Here's what you get when you go. Yes, it is. It's a free admission to go to a movie theater, watch it on a big screen, simulcast. But you also get a cup or, you know, whatever they want to give you for free. They give you a lanyard with a code on it, and it usually gets you some exclusive stuff.
Okay.
Like last year, 2 years ago when Destiny was coming out, you had access to the alpha, not even the beta, but the alpha to Destiny.
Hey, do you still play Destiny?
Not Destiny 1 because the stuff doesn't carry over.
All right,
that
moving
was 2
on.
Years ago.
Okay, moving on. What else did you get?
You get a special, like, if you're a collector, you get, like, these, there's PlayStation trading cards, and you get one of those.
Do you use those?
It's a collector's trading card. I put it with the rest of my collector's stuff.
Okay, what else have you gotten?
Then also, you get to sit in a crowd with like other people that are really excited for this. Sometimes amazing, sometimes you get an asshole behind you that just is super cynical on everything that's going down and can't shut the fuck up. We almost got into a fight last year, by the way. But it just, you know, it's one of those things. You get to be among peers and people who are excited and just, you know, get to
watch
trailers.
Last year you were on your phone just texting us as well? Like, we were texting back and forth, right?
No.
No? I swear that
it was you and Doug. I turned it off.
Hmm.
I don't know. But it was there was and it was funny because this kid could eat shit. I mean, he was, I would say he's an adult. His mom probably dropped him off there, but he was definitely over the age of 18. But he had like a very
so much hate.
He was just a piece of shit throughout the whole thing, and he thought he was funny. And he just, you know, everything they would show, he's like, oh, this is stupid. This looks generic. Oh, this is stupid. This is generic. This is generic. And then my favorite thing is when they showed the Resident Evil 7 trailer where you didn't know what the hell was going on. And he's like, oh, this is cool. This is cool. Resident Evil? Oh, this is stupid. It's generic. And like, as soon as they said the name, even though he was like all amazed throughout, you know, the rest of the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck that kid. And he'll probably be there again this year. His mom will drop him off, and then she'll pick him up afterwards. And
you have harbored this for a very long time.
He will cry himself to sleep on his cock-shaped pillow.
You have.
Yes.
Have.
Okay, I'm sorry. His waifu pillow. He was definitely like the type to have a waifu pillow. And I apologize to anyone in the chat or anyone at home that has a waifu pillow.
Who has a cock-shaped pillow? Like, I apologize for him trying to like throw your thing under the bus and make it sound like it was weird.
But Kev,
shame, Kevin. Shame.
Kev told this story a year ago when it happened.
Yeah.
And he still has the same passion behind the story.
Because it's, I mean, even though you're in a theater and you're excited with other people, don't fucking try to be Mr. Comedy during the whole thing, you know, thing. And don't try to sound like you're cool. Just go there and enjoy it with your friends, you know? If you're not into something, keep it to yourself when you're in the theater. And then once you're out of there, be like, that was all fucking stupid. Cool. Do what you want. But while we're trying to watch trailers, shut the fuck up. So there's my Doug rant of the week.
There you go.
Dang.
All right. Last story of the day, and then we're getting out of here. Crackdown 3 will be an Xbox Play Anywhere title that's been confirmed now. So no need to buy an Xbox, guys. Just get the PC.
Oh, yeah. I'll get that on PC.
Yeah, that'll be getting on PC for me for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's the show.
Doug doesn't care.
I still want to get. I'm still planning on at some point. I don't know when. On one, getting a new TV, a 4K TV. That's what appears to be giving me issues. Like I was streaming Horizon Zero Dawn last week, mm-hmm. and it was just like, this input's not going to work anymore. I'm like fuck, let's get that all sorted out. And it's just it takes like 2 minutes to turn on. It's ridiculous. It's not that old of a TV. So anyways, first step, 4K TV. Second step, probably. I don't know. PS4 Pro? Yeah, because I already have these games. Do you have to... Okay, Kev.
Yes.
Do you have to go rebuy these titles as like a PS4 Pro thing?
No,
or is it
not
just...
at all. No. Okay. That's Pro is included. All that stuff is just... It'll just be a patch.
Cool. All right, and do that.
And your game's already patched. So yeah. if you just switched up systems, it's I mean, it's, the patches are included in.
So then I do that, and then I think I'm still going to get an Xbox One. Because, again...
You mean Scorpio?
Yeah, sorry, yes. Because, like, having a computer that would do 4K gaming would mean, like, actually building a new computer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And man, you got a couple guys here who know how to do it, man. You need help.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that. It's like, I like my gaming laptop. It does, it's phenomenal. And in some, you know, that's just, it just means buying a whole new stuff. And I feel like I could just do 4K on those consoles, then I'm good.
I mean, and you have the thought crossed my mind because Red Dead is it's got a 4K like, okay, this is how it was presented. I don't know if it's official, but Xbox is saying that it is amped up on the Scorpio for an exclusive like 4K textures and all the shit mm-hmm. for the Xbox Scorpio. So it's going to be the better experience on Xbox. It looks like.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm hoping out. For. And even if that is just buying it for one game, I feel like I've kind of done that with. The PlayStation 4, like, because I know, like, I feel like I've been playing more of my PlayStation 4 recently, but I know that I've played more games on my Xbox One than my PlayStation 4 so far.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I've done the first two Uncharteds. I've started Uncharted 3. Mm-hmm. I started The Last of Us. I'm in the middle of Horizon right now. But, you know, it's like, that's it. It's all I do love the exclusives, but it's one of those, I'll get the exclusives for the PlayStation. I'll get the everything else for the Xbox or something. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'll figure it out.
If you have a good enough PC, I mean, there's no reason not to buy if it's, you know, if it's a game that's not exclusive to a system, there's no reason not to get it on PC, especially if that's the most powerful system you own. But, you know, PlayStation.
It is right now. I mean, but if something like I have that can do 4K, then that would be it. I mean, that's the thing. It's
but
like
in your case,
my laptop
you don't
is
even
great.
Have a 4K
and it can
TV
do
yet.
1080, like 60 frames a second with no fucking issue at all. It's great, but it can't do 4K. It's got a 980M in it, you know? So
980s are still pretty powerful, man.
It can't do 4K, though.
But it can't do 4K, Cap.
It can totally do 4K checkerboard.
I don't even think it does that. It's essentially the equivalent of a 970, like, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, particular games, I remember I was able to do 4K on Dark Souls 2. I mean, it all it does is it just up-resed everything. But, I mean, true 4K, I mean, it's even I've got the 1070, and it really it picks and chooses which game. I mean, you have to, like, even on the PlayStation Pro, you have to pick and choose in certain games. Like, say, Horizon, you could pick performance over image quality. I pick performance because performance gets you the 60 frames a second. Image quality will give you the 4K. So it's really, at this point, this early into 4K's lifetime, you're not going to see something that can do both yet unless you're doing it on PC.
Well, get a fucking, build a PC for $3,000.
No, I'm telling you, that's just how it is so far.
Well, do it.
All right, BRB. I'm going to go crowdfund $3,000 to
that's what I'm saying.
Buy a PC.
That's right. Okay, that's our show, everybody. I hope that you enjoyed it. It's a midday special treat. Kev goes back to KC tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Wish him the best.
I love you guys.
Other than that, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And until next time, love, hugs, and all that bullshit.